Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Who's watched the Pro Bowl at least three times?
Boom shakalaka.
John, a man who covered the Atlanta Chiefs' inaugural season.
And Hugh, who just keeps it real.
I feel like I got pants on.
Let's get your day started, Atlanta. This is John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome to Draft Day 2020. The morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John and Hugh from the Mobile Kia Studios all over Atlanta. We have Draft Day cover for you wall-to-wall from now until 2 in the morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is going to be live for the next 21 hours, a complete coverage of the NFL Draft. Hugh Douglas, it is draft day. We have sort of live sports that's going to happen tonight.
I'm glad it's finally here, everybody. Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? Hope everybody had a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday hump day and getting ready for this beautiful draft day. Yeah, I'm glad it's here. I'm glad it's here. So finally, we can quit speculating about who we're going to get the guy we're going to get, and get ready for the football season.
Hugh Douglas, what is today like for the young men that are going to be part of this? You know, the 200 and I don't know how many, because they're compensatory picks, 230 some odd or so young football players who are going to, over the next 4 days, hear their names called and go to the NFL draft, especially for those that might be kind of like DeAndre Swift, kind of fringe first-round guys, like, you know, you were a first-rounder. What's this morning of draft day like?
You just want to get it over. That's what I remember about it. Just want to get it over. Want to figure out where you're going to go. You know, talking to my agent back then, and every day, you know, everything could potentially change. You know, the team that you go to. And it's funny. Somebody sent me a story yesterday. I guess it was in Athletic, about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and how at some point they were thinking about taking me with that pick, but Warren Sapp fell in their lap. So it's a fluid situation. That's the one thing that always strikes me about the draft. You just never know. Heard stories about that across the board. Thought I was going to the Detroit Lions. Ended up going to the New York Jets. So you just never know. That's how fluid the draft is. If you're not one of the first five picks, you don't know where you're going.
I mean, it's such an interesting, you know, you were part of something interesting in life. You know, I can't imagine, while we all kind of look at the draft from the outside, I mean, you were on the inside of this thing, this process. If you're a young professional coming up, let's say that you're, you know, let's say that you're in our business, Hugh, for that matter, I want to put it into anybody, whoever is out there listening to us, you know, you're good at what you do. Imagine you're 21 years old, you're really good at whatever business that you're in. And but you can't exactly pick where you go. You're going to be told where you're going to suddenly today. You're going to be picked by a company to go to, you know, work for them in some part of the country where you have no idea. I mean,
isn't that how it usually goes for when you get out of college? If you have a job that's set up, you might have a pick of jobs, but you have a certain amount of places that you can go. You know, I'm assuming it's the same way, like recruiters send you to different places. I'm assuming that it's like that for young people that want to get into this business, that you go where the job goes initially, So it's kind of like you're being drafted. It's not like you get a pick and you like say, okay, I want to go to L.A. And be a newscaster in L.A. No, it doesn't work like that. You got to go to Podunk, Arkansas, or something like that.
Well, there's
before you go to the big time. You got to go to the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, there is a trade-off here. The trade-off is that, you know, right, I mean, okay, I'll be told to go wherever I want to go as long as you pay me the money that they're going to get. Yeah, okay, fair enough. I get it. You're not going to Podunk, Arkansas to work for minimum wage, which is what happens in our industry, by the way, if you want to be in television news. I'm just saying when you start out, when bad reality is that you will start at minimum wage as an anchor. Yeah, yeah.
Anchor. I would think, John, that's anything that we do. It's the same thing. It's just different. It's just different levels. It's, you know, it's like going to NFL draft. You're going to one of the 32 NFL teams. Mm-hmm. You know, you might, you know, the later you go in the draft, that means the better chance you're going to a better team. It's just that, you know, as a kid, I'm thinking you coming from college, and your dream is to play in the NFL, you don't really care initially where you're going. You just want to get drafted. You just want to go as high as you could possibly go. And when you get there, you would deal with whatever comes with that. But initially, you just want to get in. You just want to get your foot through the door.
Yeah, listen, if you're a young player, a three-time All-Pro, and a guy knows what he's talking about, been part of the NFL draft, and we'll certainly lean on Hugh's experience throughout the day as we talk about some of the things that are going to happen this evening in this virtual draft. Welcome to Draft Day. As mentioned, 21 solid hours of coverage between now at a little after 5 in the morning until 2 a.m. tomorrow morning. Our coverage really in about 12 hours really ramps up when we go 9 solid hours of draft coverage, starting with the college football game time guys. Chris Goforth, Randy Mack, and John Chuckery. That'll be from 5 to 8 today. The 8 to 11 show, the primetime draft show special with Mike Conney, Dave Archer, and Wes Durham. All the picks live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with those guys breaking down all the picks. And then Willie P. and Jarvis will take your calls until 2 in the morning. Of course, we'll be right back at 5 a.m. tomorrow, this time tomorrow, to continue the conversation with you. This is going to be fascinating. I will give – look, here's a truth this morning. As we start, notwithstanding where the Falcons are going to pick, who they're going to pick, how this is going to work out, the Atlanta Falcons have managed to inject themselves, Thomas Dimitroff has managed to inject himself into the national conversation so much that guys like Ian Rappaport and Jay Glazer, Adam Schefter, and people like this, they're not talking about, you know, Cincinnati at 1 or you know, Washington at 2, only to the degree that they're talking about the Atlanta Falcons this morning. All of them are tweeting about the Falcons. Yeah, the Falcons, because of the whole thing about whether the Falcons would not only trade up, but as Jay Glazer said, you know, Falcons have a history, could trade up, trying to trade up all the way to number 2.
Well, I mean, wow. From what I heard, boy, John, calm down there, big fella. You still got a long time to go before we get to the draft. But that would be something. You know, and it's funny that you mentioned number 2. I heard yesterday that number 9 was their fallback, and they're just trying to gauge how far up this draft that they could potentially go. Talked to some friends of mine, Brian Mitchell from Washington yesterday, Washington Redskins. And they're willing – to move on or you know, trade that pick, but they're already talking to him. They want a king's ransom. So in order for them, if they potentially going to move up to number 2, it's going to cost them. No question about that. And you know, you always talk about how Rich McKay doesn't want to mortgage the future. If you want to get Chase Young, if that's what they're thinking about doing, you're going to have to give up a whole lot to get to that number 2 pick.
No kidding. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it would surprise me, but I don't put anything. If the Falcons believe that they are that close, and that would be a push your – sort of like Tampa, Hugh. It's a push your chips into the middle of the table move. You know, I say we're playing poker with – you know, Tampa goes out and gets Ndamukong Suh and Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. We're going to push in with Todd Gurley, Dante Fowler, and Chase Young. Okay, so, I mean, it's just a – everybody playing, you know, high stakes poker here, and no matter what the Falcons do, because – Ian Rappaport is saying that they have the Falcons were FaceTime with multiple top tackles, and we're talking about when he says tackles, so I don't think we're talking about offensive tackles. We're talking about defensive tackles here. You know, I think they're looking at a defensive line move. I know that a lot of the experts that we've talked about here, that we've interviewed you over the last couple of days, they've been saying things like cornerback, cornerback, cornerback. I'm starting to really think when Rappaport says multiple top tackles, when Glazer says move, Why do I think this is about Chase Young or Derrick Brown or maybe Javon Kinlaw?
Well, John, it's always been about Derrick Brown or Javon Kinlaw. Now, it would be – now, if they move up to number two, then definitely we know what it's about. It's about Chase Young. But this has been all over the place, and it's funny. Like, the last couple of days, this is when the speculation starts to heat up. Like I said, and I'll say it again, nobody knows but the Atlanta Falcons. Now, you can speculate all you want. Atlanta Falcons are doing their homework, which they should do. And they're being a team that's asking all the right questions in case they want to make a move. Now, if they make that move, that remains to be seen, John. Like I was reading some blogs last night, and they were talking about this could be an epic run on offensive linemen. So the Falcons might be trying to move up so that because they feel that there might be some changes that are being made. Maybe this might be a big maybe, but maybe Chase Young isn't going to go number two overall. Maybe he falls because they feel like there's an offensive tackle out there that they covet more. The Washington Redskins need more than a pass rusher. Who knows? Or, you know, you just never know how it's going to play out.
And it could be a big day for Georgia, a big weekend for Georgia. The record number of Georgia players drafted in a draft is 8. There are people projecting they potentially could have 9, and that might be Rodrigo Blankenship, who kind of puts them over the top over the weekend. We'll see what happens with the Georgia. It could be half the draft tonight, half the first round is SEC or more. It's going to be a fascinating day. Of course, our coverage begins now, but really begins in earnest with the hardcore draft coverage at 5 o'clock. Not that our show is going to be dominated by it. John and Hugh on this draft day morning live from the Mobile Kia Studios. One other quick thing just to kind of throw out there in headlines, because I want to just mention 30 seconds on it. Got to give credit to Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred. If you wanted to bury a ridiculous penalty towards the Boston Red Sox, you would have done it when? Right now. You know, between what's going on in the country, everything that's going on, and the NFL draft, this was a place to bury a very light slap on the wrist to the Boston Red Sox, and here's exactly what they did. Boston really didn't get penalized at all for allegedly stealing signs in 2018. I guess we're done with it.
Look, I know somebody got suspended for like a year, right? And that was about it. I mean, yeah, it was perfect
video
timing.
Coordinator.
Yeah, perfect timing. You know, and it kind of falls in lockstep with what everybody kind of figured was going to happen. You know, the scapegoat and the sacrificial lamb was the Houston Astros in this situation. You know, and I'm not trying to say that. I'm not saying that in a way that, you know, the Houston Astros are getting the short end of the stick. But, I mean, they looked at the reaction to that. And if I'm the Houston Astros, I'm probably a little bit upset behind it. A little bit. A lot of bit. Let me take that back. I'd be a lot bit upset behind it.
Yeah, because the Red Sox got caught cheating in 2017, same year as the Astros, and they got caught cheating again. You know, you could say about the level of cheating, because that's what they basically said. Well, it didn't rise to the level of cheating of the Houston Astros. Alex Cora was the mastermind of the 17 Houston Astros, wasn't he? And he was on the Red Sox in 2018. That's what we're talking about. He was the manager, and okay, whatever. Yeah, look, baseball's got to deal with this cheating scandal, but they did kind of manage to bury it, so that's about all we'll talk about it today. So maybe even in Boston, that's about all they'll talk about it today. The Falcons getting ready for the draft tonight. Our coverage of the draft is brought to you by Twin Peaks. It is your home for the 2020 NFL draft season. Falcons are holding a virtual draft party tonight. Going to be buzzing tonight. Coverage with Wes Durham and Dave Archer. And you can join them for the virtual draft party. You can stream it. It'll be part of the draft coverage for the Atlanta Falcons this evening, the virtual draft party. And, of course, our coverage begins in earnest at 5 o'clock. Next up, though, again, coverage all day long. Scott Wright of Draft Countdown is with us. Yesterday, what he thinks about what the Falcons will do and more as we continue on the morning show with John and Hugh after a CBS Sports Minute. Draft day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John and Hugh from the Mobile Kia Studios. Making a little coffee, getting ready for what will be a long day for us, but it's going to be a good day, Hugh. It's a day that we get all this sports news, and I know there's going to be a lot of speculation and talk back and forth over the next number of hours leading up to the draft. Is at 8 o'clock tonight, and what's going to happen here with the number one, number two, number three picks. We thought there was going to be a lot of chatter about the number three pick, and it still is going to be a lot of chatter about the number three pick at Detroit. But do you really think, notwithstanding what Jay Glazer reported about the Falcons, but Hugh, do you really think that Washington is going to entertain the idea of really trading potentially Chase Young?
I mean, I think they are. I mean, like I said, I talked to some friends of mine up there, and if they get, if you get a bunch of good stuff for him, for mm-hmm. Chase Young, or if you get a couple of first rounders and a couple of picks in this year's draft and a couple other, you gotta entertain that. You can't be married. I think any good GM is going to listen to phone calls. Now you have your immediate needs on your football team, but you have to listen to the phone calls. So I think that yes, they will entertain it. If somebody makes them an offer that they cannot refuse, then yeah, they'll move around. They'll move it.
Well, and maybe it's a huge deal and a huge offer that they can't. Ron Rivera, maybe I guess Ron Rivera may be looking around saying, all right, I'm not going to win with this team this year. I may not win with this team the next year. This may be a 3-year project. So as a result, maybe, we need to have a lot of positions. And maybe he's also looking at it. He was saying, look, Chase Young's going to be a phenomenal player, but I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The number of holes on that franchise, in his opinion, may be so great that even as good as Chase Young is, he's going to have to do something else.
All of that is a possibility, John. That's the beautiful thing about this situation. And that's why, for me personally, I cannot wait till it's over, because at this point, everybody's speculating. You're going to hear so much stuff today about teams doing this or trying to do this. From now until the time the draft actually starts, that is going to be enough to make your head spin. It's one of those things where this is what it's about. This is what draft day is all about. It's always been like that. I don't tend to listen to all the background noise. I just want to see who gets drafted where and take it from there.
And it depends on which set of experts you're thinking about, because some of the experts that we've talked about, including Scott Wright of Draft Countdown, who's going to be up in a moment, think that the Falcons are going to, with Brady and Gronk and Emmanuel Sanders now in the division with, of course, Sanders with Drew Brees, the Falcons are going to go for one of the top flight cornerbacks in this draft, and that's where our conversation with Scott Wright began. If he thinks that the Falcons are looking at a big-time corner.
I think they would like to. I think that's certainly a huge need, and C.J. Henderson from Florida would make a ton of sense for them. He's the clear-cut number two corner in this draft after Jeff Okuda from Ohio State. The problem is, I don't think he gets to 16. And, for a couple of weeks now, I've been hearing a lot of chatter that the Falcons were looking to be aggressive in the draft. I even heard that maybe they explored going as high as number two overall. I don't think that's feasible, but I think there's a deal to be made there. And Atlanta has shown the willingness to be aggressive in the draft to move up, whether it be for Julio Jones. I think they moved up for Desmond Trufant. So keep an eye on them to move up in that 8, 9, maybe 10 range with the Cardinals, the Jaguars, or the Browns. I think all those teams are open to moving down, and the price wouldn't be too exorbitant. So, and if they do move up, I think C.J. Henderson is one of the guys they would be targeting, along with the two defensive tackles, Derek Brown from Auburn and Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina. So I'll be surprised if they end up picking at 16. I think they're going to move up. It's just kind of a matter of how far and for who.
Talking with Scott Wright of Draft Countdown here, are you among the camp that now thinks, because as time goes on, things change and the analysis of players, that Kinlaw might be the better pick than Derek Brown? Because some people are starting to say that Kinlaw might actually be a better NFL defensive tackle.
I guess it depends on what you're looking for. Derek Brown is more of that power player who's going to be a terrific run stopper. Doesn't offer quite as much as a pass rusher as Kinlaw does, but he's also a little safer. Derek Brown is more consistent, and Kinlaw runs a little hot and cold. But the high is, when Kinlaw is on, he's probably a better player than Derek Brown. And you can make an argument 5 years down the line, we could look back and say Kinlaw turned into the better player. I would still bet on Derek Brown personally, but Kinlaw has a lot of fans, and there's scenarios where he could go as early as 7 to the Panthers. He could be in play for the Jaguars at 9. So Kinlaw, he's going somewhere in that top half of the first round. And if the Falcons could find out a way to get him, I think he'd be a great fit, because they need a corner, and then they need another impact presence in that defensive front 7.
We're talking to Scott Wright, Draft Countdown, on the way from Draft Countdown on the way for it.com hotline on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Speaking of corners, you got Jeff Okuda, CJ Henderson, AJ Terrell. How do they rate in your opinion? Well, who's number one in your opinion?
Yeah, well, definitely Okuda. Although there's some who really like CJ Henderson. I've never been quite as big a fan of Henderson as a lot of people, just because the concern I have is there's a real lack of physicality there, which I understand, like Deion said, you're not paying him to tackle, but I'd like to see a little bit more physicality from CJ Henderson, and also didn't have a lot of big plays this past year. But then there's a drop-off after those two, and there's a lot of teams in the back half of the first round that could use corners. So I could see it anywhere from maybe one in AJ Terrell from Clemson to maybe three or four more corners going in the first round. It would be a little bit of a reach if you see Trayvon Diggs from Alabama, Jalen Johnson from Utah, Christian Fulton from LSU, Jeff Gladney from TCU. They're all in that late first-round conversation, but I wouldn't be shocked if the majority of those corners are still available on day two. I think that would be better value-wise. So I think that's going to be kind of a true test for teams. Do they reach a little bit to address a need with a corner late in the first round, or do they wait and have that run on the corners in the second round where there's going to be better value? So I'm actually working on my final mock draft, and I actually have the Falcons waiting to get a corner. I have them getting Javon Kinlaw from who we talked about in the first round, and then I have them come back in the second round. And one of those corners does fall to them. I have taken Jalen Johnson from Utah, who could conceivably go as early as the early 20s. But I think if the Falcons did wait on a corner, there's a good chance one would slip to them in round two.
Speaking of that, because there's a lot of people that feel like there's either going to be a run on offensive linemen in the first round or a run on quarterbacks. Which one do you think is more likely to happen in this first round of this year's draft?
I think it would be the offensive lineman. And one of the big storylines started quarterback. I think most people feel we're going to have three quarterbacks in the top six. The Bengals at number one are going to take Joe Burrow. And then the Dolphins and Chargers at 5-6, they're going to take Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama and Justin Herbert from Oregon. In one order or the other, one team's going to take one, the other will take the other. But then whoever ends up being the fourth quarterback in that group, who I think it'll be Jordan Love from Utah State, who's also in play at number five and number six, he could slide. It could be a Brady Quinn, Aaron Rodgers type of situation where he enters the draft thinking there's a chance he'd go five or six, and he ends up falling all the way into the 20s, maybe to a team like the Patriots or the Saints or the Packers. So that's one of the storylines I'm going to be keeping an eye on. And then there's going to be maybe a couple of runs on offensive linemen in the first round. I think we could see the top four offensive linemen all come off the board between picks 4 and, say, 11. And if that happens, then that second tier is going to get pushed up. Guys like Josh Jones from Houston and Ezra Cleveland from Boise State could get pushed up into the top 20 overall. So we're going to have an early run on tackles. That's without a question. I think it's more interesting to see when is that second run on offensive tackles going to start. And there's a scenario where we could see as many as 8 offensive tackles go in the first round. So a quarter of the first round tomorrow night could be offensive tackles alone.
Talking with Scott Wright of Draft Countdown, half the first round could be SEC players too. Those that aren't are probably going to be Ohio State and Clemson guys for the most part, it seems. You have Isaiah Simmons out there. Is there any possibility that the Falcons could be, you know, fake right, go left? We talk about cornerbacks in this division. We talk about defensive tackles for pass rush in this division. Is it possible that, you know, the Falcons could be looking at a linebacker and just not telling anybody?
It's possible. Every team could use Isaiah Simmons. He's a truly unique prospect. I don't know if I can ever remember a player being used at such a high level at so many positions as Simmons this past year. He played outside linebacker, inside linebacker, safety. He played outside corner. He played nickel corner. He rushed the passer off the edge. Truly a jack of all trades. So I haven't heard his name specifically. As I talked about, I heard those two defensive tackles, Brown and Kinlaw, and then the cornerback Henderson, if the Falcons were going to move up. But he'd be right in that same range that I talked about, 8, 9, 10. And you know, when I said what they were trading up for, I said just impact player in the defensive front seven, whether that's an edge rusher, whether that's a defensive tackle, whether that's a linebacker, just somebody who can be a difference maker on defense for them. And Isaiah Simmons would certainly qualify. Although, like I said, I've heard that they prefer the defensive tackles or that cornerback.
Talking with Scott Wright as we get ready for the draft tomorrow. Scott, what's the one big shock in your world that people are not prepared for? Is it Tua dropping out of the top 10? Is it, you know, somebody like the Patriots making a gigantic leap up to take Tua? What is going to be the big shocker tomorrow, in your opinion?
Well, I think there could be quite a few bit surprises, but I think the big thing to watch out for is the Dolphins at 5, the Chargers at 6. Everybody assumes that they're going to take a quarterback, but there's a chance that one of those teams don't take a quarterback. And if that happens, we could see not one of those top 4 signal callers fly, but maybe a couple of them. So there's a scenario where if the Dolphins want to kind of get cute with it, they could address another position at number 5 and then either hope one of those quarterbacks falls to the next 18 or use some of the draft ammunition that they have to move back up and get one of those signal callers. So I think the Dolphins kind of hold the key to this, whether they trade up, whether they stay there at 5. They're kind of one of those pressure points in at the top of the draft. And depending on what they do, the draft could like fork in a couple of different directions. So as always, like the game of football revolves around the quarterbacks. The draft often does too, and I always say, tell me where the quarterbacks are going to go, and I can kind of fill in the pieces around it for a mock draft. And that's the thing in the back of my mind as I'm working on this final mock draft that can screw the whole thing up really quick, I think, is the Dolphins or Chargers going in a different direction, which is not impossible.
Scott Wright of Draft Countdown with John and Hugh yesterday. Loaded lineup all day long. Our coverage begins, well, now, but really at 5 o'clock tonight when we have the college football game time guys lead you to the primetime draft special show. Sports Radio, 92 on the Game, helping you stay connected. John and Hugh reminding you, you can listen to 92 on the Game at home or on any smart device at work if you're delivering or you're a trucker or anybody that's working out there this morning. On any device, the radio.com app is at the App Store. Super simple. Go to the App Store, get radio.com. And you can listen to 92 on the Game anytime, any place. For more, go to radio.com/stay connected. What's on the menu for you tonight? Are you treating it like a big virtual party? Some are. Next with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and radio.com.
On the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now it's time for John to get super freaky. It's an interesting take on the world with John Fricky.
Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. It is draft day 2020 live from the Mobile Kia Studios all over Metro Atlanta. It is a virtual draft, as we all know, tonight. It is also a virtual draft party for the Atlanta Falcons at AtlantaFalcons.com beginning at 7 this evening. AtlantaFalcons.com is going to hold a live virtual draft party with head coach Dan Quinn, general manager Thomas Dimitroff. That's an hour before the draft begins at 7 o'clock tonight. Wes and Dave are going to be there. Live chats with the writers and with all the broadcasters as well. That's at 7 o'clock tonight at AtlantaFalcons.com, a little virtual draft pre-party with the Falcons leading up to coverage of the 2020 NFL draft. Again, 7 to 8 tonight on AtlantaFalcons.com. Well, we have wall-to-wall coverage all day long here. And Hugh, it is kind of a virtual party day. So I'm wondering here because, you know, I think that this might be the biggest sports day that we have in some time. If sports fans are going to kind of treat today and maybe tomorrow, but certainly today with round one as a, Super Bowl-like event, and whether or not people are going to be, ordering food in and treating it like the big sporting event that it is.
What are you going to do, John? I mean, I guess that's the bigger question. I mean, I think people are going to have fun and do the social distancing smart thing that they're going to do. I mean, but, you know, you're pretty excited about the draft. What are you going to do?
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking, you know, the Maven loves pizza, so maybe I will order a pizza tonight and treat it like a kind of a sporting net, you know, get to – you know, order a pizza, get some beer, and treat it like I know I can't really go. Look, I know that we have different parameters than most fans do, right? I mean, because, you know, we have to be up at the, you know, at O Dark tomorrow morning and be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. But nonetheless, to treat it like a sporting event, and I'm wondering, you know, if there's something special on the menu tonight that you're going to order. Like, if this were a, let's say that there were no virtual thing here, and you were just going to be doing a Super Bowl party at your place. What, you know, what would you order here? Now, granted, you're ordering for one and not for 10 or 20. But if you're thinking about, you know, what you would order to, in terms of having a, you know, a party tonight, is it a pizza night for you?
No, John, I would probably go to my local watering hole, probably my local bar that, you know, I watch the Falcons games with my friends. And, dude, I'd probably go to Twin Peaks and watch the, what, to be honest, and watch the draft. Probably go to Twin Peaks, hang out there, watch the draft, and just, you know, fellowship with everybody else. That's more than likely what I would probably do.
Oren, are you planning to have any kind of a, you know, a virtual salute party tonight, or you just, is it a normal night, or are you thinking it's going to be a draft party night?
I might go get some food. Like, you talking about pizza, maybe thinking about pizza. I might hit up Fox Brothers, get some barbecue. Like, I'll do something, but it'll be something by myself in my house. My girlfriend's not a real big – she'll watch sports, but the draft is not something I feel is appointment television for her, so I'll get the – I guess you call it the luxury of watching it by myself and just kind of spreading out. No pants on, eating barbecue, watching the draft.
No pants.
I hadn't thought about barbecue. And you, I don't have fat mats near me. I know that one of you guys may. You used to, you. I don't think it's not near you
it's
anymore.
Not that, it's not that close. No, fat yeah. mats is not that close. But it's not, you know, I mean, I would make that ride for some fat mats if that's what I was feeling like. Mm-hmm. No, it's not that close.
Abe, what is it? Is it a party at your place with you and Chipper tonight, or is it just a normal Thursday night?
I wake up at 2 a.m., John. It's me sitting at the draft hoping these morons don't use all the time on the clock. That's what tonight's going to be, is me getting upset.
Can you clarify who the morons are there, Abe, please? Yeah, thank you.
All of the morons. All of the morons that use too much time. You know who you want. We'll get to that in the morning menu a little bit, too. But, no, I mean, look, if I didn't wake up, if we didn't do what we do, if we worked the afternoon show and not the morning show, something like that, you know, maybe get some wings, bring them in, maybe sip on, you know, a couple whiskey rocks, and et cetera, et cetera, and enjoy it. But it just, you know, for me, it's all work mode, right?
Yeah, basically.
Because everything that happens at 16 or at 8 or whatever happens, it's tough for me to enjoy it, right? Because as soon as it happens, I start reaching out for guests and analysts and different stuff who can give us more insight on what it was. So there's not too much enjoyment of it. I mean, I'll have like a quick like 30 seconds of like, all right, we got the guy I wanted, or oh man, I can't believe they took this guy after all this. But then it's like kind of the mindset of turning the gear on. So that's kind of where I'm at. So no party. Maybe tomorrow night. Now Friday night, in I can enjoy the draft a little bit differently. But tonight's first round, it's kind of all business.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it, man. I mean, for me, the draft is not fun. It's work. I mean, you know, work is fun, no question about that. But now it's like, okay, who did they get?
Shoot, we're gonna get to pick like 8. At 9:45 at night, and we're both just going to be real upset. We're going to be real. I wish they had just traded up. I wish they had just traded up to 8. We'd be done with this already. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It'll be 10:15, and they're going to be at pick 11, and we're still waiting 5 more picks.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see. I will be tuned in tonight to see how the NFL is going to pull this off and how it's going to play and just the overall feel, the look of it, the look of the whole thing, because this is something new. This is something different. And, you know, the NFL likes to do it big. And I wonder how big they're going to be able to do it under the circumstances. That's what I'm more curious about.
Yeah, it is going to be – yeah, that is one thing that is going to be really interesting to watch. You're absolutely right. One of the angles about this is and, you know, Abe, you know, I realize that most people out there are going, are you guys really complaining about the fact that, you know, you're you know, well, it is work a little bit. We're not complaining about the fact that the draft is tonight. I mean, God love the NFL for having the draft tonight. Give us something to talk about. But it is a little bit of a work night. And so as a result, our brains think a little bit differently. And one of the ways our brains think differently, Hugh, is, you know, how does the NFL pull this off without a hitch? Because I know for a fact that some, like, one of the GMs, I forget which one, I was reading a lot of stories yesterday, was talking about the fact that his girlfriend, or, no, pardon me, his wife, that he made sure that the NFL has his wife's phone number and his son's phone number, because they're going to be in the room with him, and if anything goes wrong with his phone, I mean, one guy's tearing out walls to make sure he's got better Wi-Fi. I mean, they're all a little bit freaking out about whether or not this is going to be something that kind of goes haywire on him.
Is that like a question?
No, I'm just making a statement about
– No, I'm saying because, I mean, you do what you have to do in circumstances like this. And for me, I mean, it's going to be entertaining, no question about it, because it's an exciting time. You know, it's something that, you know, me personally, I'm a part of and I've been a part of. But at the same time, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of having a conversation about it tomorrow morning and picking out some things that I might find interesting about the whole process. This is going to be different. And, you know, I know that there's probably going to be a lot of people that are going to be looking for something, you know, to go wrong, because that's just how some people are wired. I just want to see how the NFL is going to make it entertaining, excuse me, because the last couple of hours, in the last couple of hours on my social media feeds and everything like that, you start to hear the draft music and you start to hear the ramp up to the NFL draft. And people are getting excited about that. And I think that most people are going to be excited just to see how they're going to pull this off and what it looks like.
Yeah, Falcons have 6 picks tonight in the they have 6 picks in the NFL draft at the moment. How much of that capital and future capital they use to try to move up today, because there's so much buzz around them moving up, we'll have to see. The experts, if you believe them this morning, are talking about Falcons moving up for the number 1 or number 2 defensive back. And I don't know. I'm kind of thinking that it's about a defensive tackle. We'll see. Again, this is one of the great things when we're talking about you with you on Twitter here all day long is, you know, what are the Falcons going to do? Somebody's going to, kind of nail it. I think we're all left guessing here on draft day. And whether or not you're going to have kind of a virtual draft party tonight in terms of now that I mention it, I'm going to go back to the beginning of the segment. I think I changed when I heard the term, Hugh, wings. Wings and I, we get along way too well. It's my second favorite food in the world. So, yeah, I could go wings tonight. Are you a big wings guy or no?
No, John. I watched the Wing Bowl for a couple of years when I was in Philadelphia. I kind of, once I saw them eating chicken wings the way that they did at Joey Chestnut and those guys, I mean, I eat them, but that's not my motivation.
Yeah, I have to avoid them. From the very first time I had chicken wings, which was, that place that's across from the Varsity down there, J.R. Crickets? I went down there for a tech game. Oh, that was in the late 1970s. I had never had chicken wings before. It was like one of those first things you discover in life, and you go, oh, yeah, this is going to be – yeah, you and me are going to have a lifelong friendship. Yeah, hot wings like that, yeah. I know this. I'm not going to – the whole thing about, pizza and wings, they do go together, and there's a good pizza and wings spot just down the road from me here. So, oh, man, might have to be at least a beginning of a party tonight.
Go for it, John Freaky. Go for it. I mean, yep. It sounds like you're itching to let your hair down. Go for it. I'm pretty sure, since you haven't had a haircut, it's grown quite a bit, so go for it.
I do have a mop. it's fun with Houston. Listen to me. Cincinnati on the clock for Joe Burrow tonight. Again, the draft begins at 8. Our coverage all day starts really at 5 o'clock this evening, our college football game time. Draft special, Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, and John Chuckery. Then the primetime draft show special, Mike Conney, Dave Archer, Wes Durham from 8 to 11, and then Willie P. and Jarvis Davis from 11 to 2 in the morning taking your calls. Great place to be, Sports Radio 90 Time the Game, for our coverage brought to you by Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks is, he was talking about Twin Peaks' place to be when we get back to kind of normal and you can start watching games again. Twin Peaks, your home for the 2020 NFL season. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, top of the hour, the mashup from Oren Romain, fun stories from the day, of course, the morning menus in the next hour as well as we continue live on Draft Day 2020 on your home of the NFL Draft and your home of the Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92 on the game, streaming at radio.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you.
Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.